¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, and I'm joined by my primos, Ricky Torres and Hector Reyes. Hey, boys.
What's up, guys?
Hey, gracias for joining us, everybody. Familia, the three of us have to take a moment and talk about the seriousness that's happening in our country. And for us in LA County, the unrest that's been happening, it was heartbreaking to read about and see the video footage of the death of George Floyd last week. And it's also been heartbreaking to see the divide this has caused in our country since then. As Latinos, we've grown up next to and become friends with African Americans our entire lives. So it's natural for us to stand in solidarity with them as so many of us rise to the injustice that has resulted in the death of so many young Black men. We need more education, empathy, and accountability for police officers in dealing with African Americans, Latinos, and other minorities who do not deserve to pay the ultimate price with their lives. We need more discussion and interaction between the community and law enforcement so that young people are not growing up in fear of police officers patrolling their neighborhoods. I know, you know, Hector and I want this very much for our kids. We also want to pay attention to the overwhelming majority of good-hearted police officers out there in our communities. We're lucky in our familia to be related to several police officers and law enforcement people. Ricky's father is a retired sheriff. My father-in-law is a retired sheriff. Our relatives on the job, active duty now, some of them also have been in the military. They've put their lives on the line every day for their careers for us. We know that there are so many good cops out there than those who are committing these atrocities. Please don't paint them all as bad, just like we don't want them seeing all of us minorities as criminals. For those protesting, we're with you when you do it in peace. Your message is important to the future so that hopefully we don't have to see this happen again. Also, please have a plan for when the screams die down and the signs get put away. Work for more and better interaction with local government and law enforcement. You know, I was reminded about this when listening to reading the article on Charger head coach Anthony Lynn. He was interviewed by LZ Granderson of the LA Times. And Coach Lynn mentioned joining the protest in Huntington Beach over the weekend. And he actually mentioned that while he said it was intense, afterward he sought out the leaders of the protest. And he was a little bit disappointed to find out that there was no plan beyond the protest. He and others would like to see, there to be some sort of plan of action for there can be continued work and discussion so that we could see real progress happen. And lastly, you know, we got to talk to the opportunists out there who are taking advantage and causing violence and looting. We just have one message. Stop, stop, stop. No más. What you're doing has nothing to do with George Floyd. It has nothing to do with Black Lives Matter or Dr. King. There is no place for violence and crime during this very delicate time in our world. We're still dealing with a deadly illness that has cratered our economy and is hitting the elderly and minorities at an alarming rate. We don't need to add more negativity in the world. Please allow the peaceful protests to remain peaceful. We are one large familia community. And the more we communicate with one another to completely understand our mutual struggles and successes, that's when we truly move forward. We want the world to be a better place for my three daughters, for Hector's son, for Ricky's unborn kids, yes, for all generations coming after us. Remember this always, everybody. Black lives matter. Si se puede.
Si se puede. Yep. I just wanted to say a little something. I just feel like, you know, very well said, George. And just seeing everything on social media, and I think it's just important to watch how you take in the news, because, of course, you're going to see the headlines of the day, the fights of the day, the sensationalized fires, all that. But throughout the day, there's so many beautiful protests. There's beautiful things going on. And I just feel like people are seeing the sensationalized stuff and just throwing it out there in everyone's face. And no one's taking the message. But I think it's important to remember there's some good stuff going on out there right now, if you guys really look.
No, yeah, I agree. There's that's one thing that comes to mind when I'm you know watching everything and taking everything in is obviously there's a lot of chaos out there. There's a lot of looting, violence, you know, all the above, you know. But yeah, like you said, Rick, there's a lot of peaceful protesting going on, and unfortunately, there's the protesting against the protesting. You know, if there's those folks out there, yeah. That element that's protesting the protesting, and it's just causing all this chaos, and you know, we have curfews, and you know, businesses are being ruined, destroyed. You know, you mentioned, George, you know, one thing that you called out, you know, the deaths of young Black men. Young Black women are also, you know, part of that equation. So yeah, we definitely have to move forward and work on just coming together and making this all better.
Yeah. No, and let's hope that really this is the last time we have to have this kind of a conversation intro in what really we're trying to be, a podcast that's a distraction, that's something fun, that it's something that we enjoy doing. So thank you everybody for listening to that. That's enough for the heavy portion. let's get into the distraction. I don't think there's a better distraction than the chisme portion of our
chisme.
Let's go.
Chisme. Guys, Henry Ruggs is on crutches. Anybody moving furniture? I'm like, my thinking is, dude, you know, you're an NFL ball player. is there somebody you could have hired to do that?
Well, isn't that you know, all the gyms are closed now. So, you know, that's like he's getting his workout. And, you know, if anyone out there, you know, we all had friends and neighbors and relatives and, you know, that have asked us to, especially if you own a truck, you're that guy that everybody asked to help move. So if, you know, especially now, like I said, that's the gym now, you know, you're helping people move, you're lifting up, you know, you got your end tables and coffee tables and dressers and beds. So yeah, you know, I'm sure, you know, that was part of his workout that day. And unfortunately, I think I heard he caught his thigh like on a sharp piece of metal and a U-Haul truck or something, and got himself a good little gas there. But yeah, these things happen. You know, people get cut up and everyone gets little injuries here and there, nicked up here and there. But yeah, I don't think there's any cause for concern there.
I don't know, man. He's on crutches for just a little wound. I don't know. You know, you're on crutches because you don't want to bear weight on it, but maybe he's just babying it. Who knows?
Sure.
But I mean, the guy just went to Vegas, so of course he's got money. He's just moving in, so I don't know. I don't know if I buy the story. I don't buy anything people say anymore. I have to see video. So
there we go.
But other than that, I mean, he's just a rookie. He'll learn the hard way.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Everyone's gonna tell that like he needs his go-to guys. Like, bro, stop doing anything. Like, have your homies do everything for you. Someone's gonna get to him.
There you go.
Eventually that will. I do worry a little bit about it being a thigh injury, just because this guy is so well known for his, you know, his speed and his breakaway speed. So I just worry about that a little bit. I hope it doesn't linger. You know, we all know that that muscle injuries can stick with you for a while. So I'll feel a lot better if he's when I hear that he's not on crutches.
Or once we watch him running, watch him sprinting around, I think we'll have a better sense.
They're gonna baby him. Why not? Yep. We don't need him, but I mean, baby him. He's a rookie. Who cares?
As long as he's ready in September,
there you go.
Ready to catch some bombs. And,
there you go.
Speaking of a rookie who was ready in September, Terry McLaurin, and I remember this guy specifically because, Ricky, you stole him from me in the waiver wire after week one last year. And
Terry.
Scary Terry. This guy had more nicknames. Scary Terry. He had something to do with a car.
I forget what it was. I know what you're talking about. Lightning McLaurin or something like that.
Yeah.
But so, no, it was awesome. I loved him.
I'll tell you a funny story about Terry McLaurin, only because I remember this because I was so mad. And this is something that this may be, you know, a whole other segment of another podcast, but I'll just touch on it briefly. because I'm sure it's happened to all of us, you know, when you want to wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was, or remember to put in your, you know, your waiver wire pick. I could swear, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, you picked up Terry McLaurin after the waiver picks went through, and you picked him up because you didn't want to lose your waiver position. So you picked him up when all the picks went through, right?
I don't know. It sounds like something a smart guy would do.
Yeah, exactly. I told myself I was going to set my alarm and do that, and I didn't. And I didn't do that, and I didn't wake up at like 3 or 2 in the morning or wherever it was when those go through. And I forgot to pick up Terry McLaurin, and then Rick picked him up. And I just remember – I only bring that up because the next morning I woke up and I remember I missed him, and then I watched him go off. So that pissed me off. So that's my story.
But yeah, so it's interesting that Ron Rivera is kind of comparing Terry McLaurin to DJ Moore. And wow, I mean – we talked about DJ Moore last week, how much we all really like him. I mean, who wouldn't want to see that kind of jump this year?
I mean, who else is he going to compare him to? Ron Rivera hasn't been a coach that long. But I mean, I think Terry McLaurin is going to be even better than DJ Moore at some point. Hopefully he has that second year leap. I'm hoping he does, but the quarterback play looks eh. But Terry McLaurin was solid. He's fast. He gets the quick, you know, 5 to 2 yard touchdowns on the goal line. So I don't know. I would love to have him again this year if you guys want to skip out.
Yeah, no, I got my eye on him as well. So I have high hopes for McLaurin as well. So he'll be on my draft boards as well.
Well, the great thing is that he's got Scott Turner as his OC in Washington, and Rivera and Scott Turner was in Carolina last year. So he was the one who helped make DJ Moore into a stud. So all signs point to it. I think it almost kind of comes down to Dwayne Haskins. If Dwayne Haskins is anywhere near a good quarterback this year, which I know there's some question marks, but the talent is definitely still there. So hopefully he's good. I mean, heck, he's going to be he's got to be as good, if not better than what was his name? The Kyle Russell, what was it?
Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen. I don't know why I was thinking Kyle Russell.
Yeah, Kyle Allen. Yes. No. Agreed.
That's his backup.
No, he was the head. He was the QB for the Panthers. He was Panthers QB last year. So under Rivera. So
he did surprise in some games, and then later he sucked.
But. Well, he did have CMC to help him out a little bit throughout these. I think that was his crutch. I think he needed CMC a lot more than CMC needed him last year. So,
and DJ Moore helped out. So
yes, cool. Yeah. So, and I heard. I think I read somewhere that Dwayne Haskins put on like 40 pounds of muscle or something crazy. Like the guy is like a beast this year. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, that's just what I read. I don't know how that really translates. I don't know if a quarterback
40 pounds of muscle.
I don't know. I think I read that or glancing through an article somewhere that somehow Dwayne Haskins has become the this monster machine beast quarterback. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
We gotta keep an eye on that one.
Yep.
It's gonna look like Derrick Henry on the quarterback position.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we know about people gaining 40 pounds during quarantine, but not necessarily muscle.
Yeah, we'll see. I know Gronk's going to have to put on 40 pounds. I know the way he parties, it's not all going to be muscle, but that's one guy that's definitely going to need to put on at least 40 pounds.
And what position out of all of them to see them gain weight?
That segues us, right, to our next rankings, the position of?
Tight ends. It's our last rankings one, and, you know, considering the fact that there's only one – there's really not that many good tight ends out there, so we're only going to do one episode on there. So we're not doing
kickers next week.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that'd be a fantastic episode.
Rick, do you want to go into the kickers for the Chargers, considering their recent history?
Oh, no, I hate kickers. Oh man, I would love to finally be on a draft that does not have kickers.
One of these days, we could dream. But for now, you know, the guys that we have on there, I mean, the position of tight end, it's kind of frustrating. It's beautiful when you get Kelce or Kittle, or you find someone who comes out of nowhere, like a Mark Andrews or a Darren Waller. But I think this one is more frustrating than anything. I mean, I think that's a big reason why. Oh, go ahead. Right.
No, you're right. I'm just going to say it's frustrating if you don't get one of those top five. But if you can get one of those top five, you're sitting pretty for the year because that's all you need. They're going to be just, you know, in their own spot, and that's what you want. Don't miss out. If you miss out, oh, my goodness, you're going to be playing the lottery with everyone else.
Yeah, and we should probably preface the fact that I think the three of us have put these rankings together based on the setup of our league, and that's that the tight end is actually a flex position. That is not a requirement. I know there's a lot of folks that do have leagues where the TE is a required fill spot, and our league isn't like that. So we actually do not need – not that these rankings will probably be any that much far, you know, that far off from a league that does require a tight end spot, but you know, our league – does not require a tight end spot.
However, in the leagues that I am in with the tight end, I look at it like this. Just get the top tight end. Like, there's not that many good ones. It's not like running backs where you can play with it here and there. Like, there's five good tight ends, and it's one player on the field who doesn't get the ball that often. It's like, just get one of the top five. If you have a tight end position in your league, hop on it, because it's just one of those positions you don't want to go fishing it for. Like you said, George, it's just frustrating because, like, I've seen people have Jimmy Graham and he gets a great game, then the next game he gets 0 points. It's like you don't want to have to be in that position.
Right.
It is that one. And I like the way we do it in our league where we have two flex positions, one that's running back receiver and the other one that's receiver tight end. So we can get – there is always going to be room for a Travis Kelce or a George Kittle. But the funny part is that some of those tight ends down the line, like I remember picking up Darren Waller midway through the season, and he was already having a pretty decent season. He wasn't getting a lot of touchdowns, plenty of catches. But I like the way that kind of evens things out or makes you not – or you could actually ignore the tight end position, which I know I've done for the most part in our league. Except for getting those guys down the road, though I did use my waiver wire. Instead of using it on Terry McLaurin, I used it on TJ Hawkinson after week one and regretted it all season.
Even in our league, I feel like as long as you know the tight end's going to score 10 to 15 points a week, like Travis Kelce and all them, then you know they're worthy of being on the team. But yeah, when you need a tight end, yeah, just stick to the top five. The others suck.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with the guy at the top. You know, our consensus rankings had Travis Kelce at number one. I had him at number one. Ricky, you had him at number one. Hector, you had him at number two. So
yep.
Not easy.
No.
Kelce's such a stud.
Yeah, well, I picked George Kittle number one, but we'll talk about Kittle after. So we'll talk about Kelce first.
please, tell me why Kelce's not number one.
We'll wait for the Kittle discussion.
I'm gonna brag about Kelce. Okay.
You will retort.
I'll say all the good stuff, and you can tell me why he's not. Because Travis Kelce had 97 receptions last year, more than any other tight end, 1,200 yards. The one downfall is he only had 5 touchdowns, but is that really a downfall? Mark Andrews had 10, which was insane, but every other tight end only had 5 or 6 touchdowns. So Kelce's the top of the top. Like, I don't see why anyone else would be there. We already know the Niners are going to do bad this year because it's a bust.
Is that what we know? Is that what we know, Rick?
We know this. But, like, look at the Rams. Look at the Falcons the year before that. We, like, well, those of us who, I don't know. I just believe in that. I'm very superstitious, and that is something that definitely happens. Just right. Like the Madden curse.
Right. So, and look, and yes.
We all know that happens.
I did have Kelce as number two in my rankings, my personal rankings. Kittle at number one, but it's more like 1A, 1B. Barely. I'll take Kittle over Kelce, you know, for next year. But yes, obviously, I picked Kelce last year in what, second round. I picked up Kelce. So
you did it in spite of me.
What? I thought you were going to take him. Seriously, I did.
Because
just so everyone knows, Rick has picked Travis Kelce, I think, like 3 of the last 4 years. Travis Kelce's been on Rick's team. But again, you can never go in. You can't go wrong with the Chiefs, anyone on the Chiefs offense. You're not going to go wrong. Kelce being an integral part of the Chiefs offense. So yeah, he missed it by a little. I'm a big fan of Kittle. We'll get into Kittle a little bit more once we get into number two. But what do you say, George, about Kelce at number one? What do you like about him?
But you know what? I love his consistency. I was looking at his numbers. He's missed one game in 6 years. So he's going to be out there every week, especially the last 2 years. He's been having those numbers like Gronk in his prime years. And he's right there. And you know, everything points to him being great. Mahomes is fantastic. Mm-hmm. You got the deep threat with Tyreek Hill and maybe Mecole Hardman if he takes the next step. So that's going to leave the middle wide open for him. So he's always going to be around 90 to 110 receptions and just a ton of yards. He gets numbers like an elite receiver. So he is a guy who is very, very worthy of taking in the second round. Maybe, you know, some people, I wouldn't even put it past people to take him toward the end of the first round in a deep draft if there's a premium on tight end. So I think he's fantastic. I think he's a great character too. Every time I hear him interviewed, I'm always cracking up by the end.
Yeah, he's great. So, he's great. He's hilarious.
So he's fantastic. I think he's very worthy of the Mr. Soy Fiesta inheriting the great tight end mantle. Just
the legacy of Gronkowski. he's taking it on.
though our guy at number two, he is actually quite the character too. I mean, George Kittle. Yes. Hector, you had him at number one.
I love me some George Kittle. And the first thing that stood out to me when I'm looking at last year's stats is the fact that Kittle had 107 targets to Kelce's 136 targets. But this guy just does damage when he has the ball in his hands. I mean, we looked at, you know, was it last year when Kittle, he had that 4th-and-2 last year against the Saints. Everybody remembers, if you're a football fan, if you're a fantasy, you know, football player, you know the play I'm talking about. Kittle takes the little 4th-and-2 from Jimmy G. It's a little screen pass, and the guy just, you know, rumbling, stumbling, bumbling down the left sideline. And this, he had like three guys draped on him, and he's just like punching them in the face and like pulling them off of him. And the guy went for 44 yards. And look, I don't see any downside. I see this as a year that Kittle overtakes Kelce, not by much, because again, I love me some Travis Kelce. I see it. That's my projection. Kittle's going to outperform Kelce by a little bit this year. That's the only reason that I picked him that way. I see George Kittle, you know, you see Jimmy G, he learned a lot from Tom Brady, you know, taking advantage of that tight end. I think, you know, the chemistry between Jimmy G and Kittle is going to be that much even better in this next year coming up. They had that much more time to play together. I just can't wait to see how those two guys play together. And I just think that Kittle's going to just explode. He's going to be the number one tight end this year. Bank on it.
Nah, dude's gonna get double teamed easily.
So what?
They're gonna fall apart. So I think he's the second best tight end. I don't think he's gonna be horrible, but I mean, come on.
Go ahead and double team him. He doesn't care.
He might get less receptions. Who knows what happens with Jimmy G this year after what he did in the Super Bowl. Right. So, I mean,
that is true.
I love that George Kittle's just fun to watch.
Yes.
Just like Kelce's fun to watch. But, I mean, I love me some Kelce. And Kittle, I mean, I just don't like his team. I think it's just not going to benefit him that much this year. I think the Niners got lucky last year. But, hey, we'll see what happens. I wish the guy the best. He's definitely top two.
Right, but my other point that I wanted to bring up is that I think George mentioned it earlier. Kittle's the number one receiver on the 49ers.
And he knows that too.
Well, yeah, but again, it doesn't matter who you're going to put up against him. The guy's what, 6? What is he like? 6'5", 6'6", with, you know, a long reach, and the guy can jump high. He's like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That skyhook, you can't defend it. If you put that ball, you can put that ball in places where no defender's going to get it. Only George Kittle can get it. That's where, you know, the good tight ends, they thrive on that. Kelce's same thing. The guy's huge. Mahomes puts the ball where only Kelce can get it. Jimmy G puts the ball where only Kittle can get it. So it doesn't matter if you quadruple team the guy. He's like, you know, he's like that, you know, like that big cousin, you know, the big uncle with all the little cousins that are playing, and he's just, you know, throwing them off of him like you know, like the rag dolls. That's Kittle. So that's the only thing that the only reason to, you know, the overriding, like the tipping point that put Kittle above Kelce for me was that he's the number one receiving option in San Francisco.
Yeah, but not the fact that Kelce has a Super Bowl MVP.
Sure, but that was last year. I'm just projecting. Oh, my.
Like Patrick Mahomes is, like you said, you can't quadruple team Kittle. Patrick Mahomes is quadruple times better than Jimmy G.
I don't disagree with you with Kelce, like five other receivers.
He's number one. Yeah, but it spreads the defense. And the defense just has no idea where to go. So Kelce's going to get those easy pickups.
Hey, I had Kelce last year. That's not necessarily what I saw. But, you know, it's we'll see. You and I are going to put a little side wager on
that. What I love about Kelce is that he's not going to explode for, like, those huge, huge, huge points. He's going to be consistently great.
Yes. No, for sure. Like I said, Kelce and Kittle, 1A and 1B, easily. If I got either one of those guys, I'm thrilled, so no problem.
Familia, I think we're going to have a beer bet on this one.
Yeah, I hear it. I feel it coming.
Though I think it would be hilarious if Ricky ended up with Kittle and drafted Kittle and Hector drafted Kelce. So.
I was right away.
Could happen.
But, you know, just to add in a 2 cents on George Kittle, though, I love that he's the number one receiving option. I think what actually is going to help him is that Deebo Samuel is going to take a big step up and be into an elite receiver. And that's going to help Kittle kind of have a little more room and maybe hopefully won't get double and triple teamed out there. But I went back and in writing the script for this, I went back and I looked at that play one more time. Mm-hmm. I got fired up. I got
crazy. Fired it up. Really, it's not even human. He's not human. It's a, you look at him. He's like, you know, like the Terminator 2, like, you know, like the liquid metal guy, like, yeah. You know, the, you know, like that was him. That's like Kittle. He's just like, get off me. Just like, he's like throwing, like you can't stop me. And he got like 30 yards or it's like something ridiculous. With like three dudes hanging on him. It was crazy.
No, it was fantastic. It was fantastic. Yeah. He was hitting guys right off the bat. But,
yeah, it was awesome. Awesome play.
All right. Well, that I think that's enough George Kittle love. Our number three guy is a guy who took a big step forward in his second year last year, Mark Andrews. I don't know if any of us saw it coming, but he was he just blew up, and he's not in that tier with Kittle and Kelce. But he's in that next group, and I love that he's what he's doing, and I love the offense that he's in for that. I mean, mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson loves throwing he loves throwing to that short ball. I mean, that's the big helper for the tight end is always the kind of like that safety valve for the young quarterback. Yeah, sure. Andrews is really a good player, and I think if you're not going to get one of those guys, waiting a little bit and getting Andrews is a good one.
And I think you're right. I love Andrews because dude was a beast last year in the end zone. Like, it sucked. He got 10 touchdowns, so he's obviously the best tight end in that edge. But, yeah, like you say, he's the safety valve for Lamar. If Lamar doesn't do as well this year, he's still going to throw the short balls. And especially because they got rid of Hurst, Andrews is going to be the main tight end there. He's not going to be the main receiving option, but he's real close. He's like 1B right behind Hollywood Brown. So I like the setup he has. So if he can get consistent receptions, oh yeah, the guy is definitely going to be hot. He's going to get close to Kittle, Kelce, but still not near enough to risk getting him higher than that.
Right. And if it ain't broke, as they say, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I don't really see the Ravens changing too much of their offense, you know, for next year. You know, everyone knew what Lamar Jackson all year long, and he did it anyway. It's like, you know, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. So, you know, the Ravens are going to come back with probably the same offense that they ran last year, and teams are still going to have just headaches, you know, trying to figure out what the hell they're doing. I keep going back to that game when he was at the Monday Night Football when Lamar went for 5 touchdowns. So the Ravens are going to score touchdowns in bunches. Mark Andrews is going to be the beneficiary of that, you know, that explosive offense that the Ravens have. Look, 10 TDs last year. He's going to get more of that this year. We'll just see how much his targets – you know, he was number five, 98 no, targets.
He was number seven as far as receptions, he was number seven. No, for
just target. Yeah, targets. He had 64 receptions and 98 targets. He was, you know, nine targets behind Kittle, at least as far as targets go. But yeah, he's you know, his targets, you know, not as many targets, but they you know, when he gets them, you know, he cashes them in. So yeah, number three, good dude.
And you're right, he does cash him in, because you look at his average yards of reception, it's like 13.3, and that's better than everyone else in the top 13.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He doesn't receive it as much. He's got 64 receptions compared to Kelsey's 97, Kittle's 85, and then other people have eight are in the top 80s and 90s. But hey, if he gets more receptions this year, especially now that he's the number one tight end option, guy might be some money. So
yeah.
And he's money down near the end zone. He was.
Oh yeah, he's golden.
He got 11 red zone completions, which was tied with Kittle. Thank you to our folks, our friends at NFLSavant.com for putting together those stats. And of those 11 red zone completions, 9 were for touchdowns.
Yeah.
So nine of those 10. So you know that when they're getting inside the 20, that ball has a good chance of going to Andrews. And I think the fact that Lamar Jackson is such a threat to run, that's going to help him. There's always going to be that spy on Lamar Jackson, and that's going to just leave one less defender on Andrews and kind of leave him open. So I think he could take a step forward, maybe not in the touchdowns, but definitely in the receptions and yardage coming from. Our number four guy was the number three guy last year, Zach Ertz. How do you follow up a season with 116 receptions and 1,163 yards? Still had a good season, but you know, he's not enough to end up in the top three.
And I think that's mainly because, I don't know, the play hasn't been consistent from everyone else, and then because of Dallas Goedert. You know, his play started going up. So I think Zach Ertz this year, I like him because I don't trust Alshon Jeffrey. I don't trust DeSean Jackson to open it up. I love that he's going to be the safety valve for Carson Wentz, because Carson Wentz can also move too. And Zach Ertz is just a reception machine, and it's like, he's golden.
Yeah.
So he would be past Mark Andrews if it wasn't for Goddard.
So what happens then, because that's, you know, going back to, you know, if he's the number one receiver on the team, how does that affect his production? Because, you know, the three of us have had, you know, a lot of discussion about the Eagles offense. Alshon Jeffrey might go down. DeSean Jackson might go down. So there may be a point in the season where Zach Ertz becomes that number one guy, the number one target. Does his production fall off there? And then Goddard, you know, picks up the slack if all the top defenders are jumping all over Ertz?
I think he's going to be still very much the number one option. I think he's going to be the number one option from beginning. I don't trust that Jeffrey is going to be healthy much at all. I think DeSean Jackson and Jalen Reagor are going to try and keep the field open, keep the middle open, so that Ertz and Goddard get a lot of balls. I just think Wentz is good. He's someone who's going to find his best player. And honestly, right now, I think Zach Ertz may be the best offensive player on, at least from a receiving side.
Right. Miles Sanders fan.
I think that what's great about him is that his floor is low, because you know he's guaranteed balls no matter what.
That's true.
And that's what I like about him. That's what makes him and our number three, Mark Andrews, good, is that you know they're going to get the ball in their hands. And that's why everyone five and under are kind of scary.
Right, right. And then going back to that, you know, we'll call out Kelsey led the league with 136 targets. Ertz is right there with Kelsey at 135. So like you said, Rick, Carson Wentz is going to be throwing tons and tons of balls to Zach Ertz. So, you know, last year, 6 TDs. Yeah, I would think that would, you know, especially if those other receivers, you know, Jeffrey and Jackson go down or have some issues, we might probably see some more TDs coming from Zach Ertz this year.
Ricky, you mentioned scary again. It gave me flashbacks to the La Llorona episode that we had. But you know what? It's true.
Been having nightmares, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But you know what? There is a tier. After Ertz, there is a tier. And, you know, we had it's kind of a drop down to Darren Waller at number five.
That's crazy that we're already like on the third tier, barely on the fifth guy. That's right. How shallow the tight end is compared to wide receivers. Oh, my goodness. Was it like 29 people had over 1,000?
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. That's why it's important.
Sure. Well, getting Darren Waller at number five, Hector, you know, you had him, I think you had him number five, Ricky had him six, I had him five. Guy is a volume machine. What are your thoughts on Waller?
Well, you know, like I said before, I'm looking this year for Derek Carr to step up. You know, I think this is finally going to be his year when his working with John Gruden is finally going to pay dividends. And I'm a fan of Darren Waller. He did some great things last year. I look for more from him. 1,145 yards receiving last year. That's a nice number for any receiver, especially for a tight end. Three TDs, not so much. You know, like I said, I'm looking for more production from Carr. So that being said, I'm looking for Waller to step up. And I think he'll have a nice year. I don't know where I'd pick Waller. I'm not really targeting him too much this year, but you know, if he falls and you know, I get him at a good value spot, you know, I'll pick him up, but you know, we'll have to wait and see. What do you guys think? What do you think about him, George?
I like, sorry.
No, go ahead, Rick.
I was just gonna say, I had him on another league and he's nice. He was somewhat consistent, but 100% heck, it's all on Carr. Carr's got to do better.
Exactly. Because
the dude had 90 receptions, only seven behind Kelsey for the lead in the league. And he's still got over 1,000 yards as well. So he's definitely a beast. And Oakland doesn't have too many. I mean, their top wide receiver
is
Tyrell Williams. That's their number one receiver. So it's like, who's he competing with?
Right.
So I think Waller's a definite great pick. And that's why he's leading all this other tier.
Yep. Yeah, he also signed a contract extension, which that always makes you feel good about that the player is going to get used. I do remember last year during training camp that John Gruden was talking about the fact that he uses the tight end a lot, and a lot of people were a lot of the fantasy experts were just kind of dismissing that as coach speak, and you know, he lived up to it. I think Waller is going to get a lot of volume. I think maybe the touchdowns could go elsewhere, like Josh Jacobs, maybe the receivers. But I think he's going to be a PPR monster. I think he's going to. I think what we saw, at least from a receptions and yardage standpoint, I think that's going to be consistent for him. He's young. He's going to be a good player, and you know, maybe all those speed demons that the Raiders drafted are going to help him if Henry Ruggs can stop moving his own furniture.
Yeah, there you go. Getting his
that's
getting
so
his leg.
Raider-like, though. That's so Raider-like.
Yeah, that is so it is. Curse of Al Davis. So yes.
Well, you know,
always
another guy who's been cursed a little bit is our guy number six, Hunter Henry. Ricky, do you have a veladora set up for him so that he
cursed
can
play? Indeed. Dude, this guy's like, he's everybody's sleeper pick for like the last 2 years, but he doesn't do anything. So it's like, please just once play all of the games. And it's like, finally, if he does do it this year, he doesn't even have the quarterback, who's one of the best quarterbacks ever, throwing to tight ends because he had, it's just annoying. But it's like, all right, Ricky, take a breath. That team has so many wide receivers. Not wide receivers, but they have so many weapons when you have Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, as well as the backfield that the Chargers have. It's just insane. So Hunter Henry's definitely going to get a bite. He's going to be hot if he can stay healthy. He just needs to stay healthy, and that's it. But, I mean, you're talking about ACL surgery and all that. I'm not sure if he can stay healthy because he hasn't proved it, but I don't know. The guy is so fun to watch. He's young, and he's always happy and smiling. But I don't know. Like, I'm biased, so you guys, non-biased people, please, truth.
No, I'm right there with you.
Rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, fun to watch. Hunter Henry, I think I had him on my team a couple times in the last couple of years, and I would have loved to see him, you know, play a full season with Phillip Rivers. on the Chargers. You know, as we all know, you know, between Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates, you know, Rivers obviously would have loved to throw to Hunter Henry all season, to a healthy Hunter Henry. But yeah, the fact that, you know, Rivers is gone and now we have with Tyrod Taylor and Herbert, you know, there in, you know, on the Chargers this year in LA, I definitely see a downgrade for Hunter, unfortunately. But yeah, super fun to watch. The guy's awesome. And we'll just have to wait and see what kind of production we get from his new QBs this year.
I look at the fact that, you know, Tyrod Taylor he likes to play a conservative approach, throwing the ball. That to me screams tight end. Yeah. It screams that he's going to be looking for the tight end, looking for Austin Eckler out of the backfield. So I think give me Hunter Henry. I'm going to look for him a lot in DFS, because even if he does miss games, on the days that he's there, his value might be a little bit lower. So I could get him on a bargain, especially in the right matchup. And I think we all expect that the Chargers are going to make quarterback change at some point during the season. And again, right. I talked about it a little bit with Lamar Jackson, the young quarterbacks, they seem to look for that tight end. So I expect big things from Hunter Henry. I'm hoping, you know, he's 2018, he missed the year with ACL surgery. Last year, he had the broken kneecap. Maybe third time is going to be the charm, and he's going to be healthy this year. So, yeah. Yeah, and speaking of wanting to get a guy who's healthy, or health for a guy, Evan Ingram, another guy who we've got a veladora set for him. I didn't like him. I will say that. I had him number 11 just because I don't. To me, the greatest ability is availability. And, you know, when a guy misses 13 games in 2 years with a variety of injuries, that I just don't trust him. I can't trust him. I'd rather take. I know
still
that,
an if we don't do that.
No, we can know we can do that.
It's
now.
Preseason.
Those are the rule. Preseason and projections. You can do if that's what projections are.
I feel like because I look at it and he's played 8 games last year. So the way I take it is, all right, guys, if you want to be mathematical about it, all that fun science, smart stuff, look at his average. He still averaged 5.5 receptions a game when he played, which was still in the top 10 for tight ends. He only got, I think, like 3 touchdowns. But you know for a fact, A, Danny Dimes is going to definitely improve this year. He's got to. Saquon's going to improve. Everyone on that team is going to improve. They're just going to be better, and Ingram was already, I mean, I was excited to have him last year, but because he was injured, it sucked. But I'm telling you, the guy's going to be solid. If he could just stay healthy, and that sucks because I feel like we're going to say that about like half the people.
Right. No, I agree. I'm right there with you. I'm looking at the receiving core for the Giants, and I'm seeing Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard. And neither of those guys, you know, screams, you know, toughness to me. You know, both of those guys have had injury. I think Sterling Shepard missed a giant chunk of last season with injuries. Golden Tate's got, you know, getting a little long in the tooth, like we've said, is, you know, he's up there in the mileage category. So Evan Ingram may emerge as, you know, as number two, possibly number one receiving option for Daniel Jones in the coming year. So yeah, the guy, like you said, the guy can get yards in chunks. He's fun to watch, and when he's healthy, like we always say, he can do a lot of damage out there. So I'm looking.
I thought
for
about
Ingram.
That saying yeah. all week long.
What's that? Long in the tooth.
I was like, who says that? But it would just pop in my head every now and then.
Long in the tooth.
Now
you
just
know.
Think of people with teeth like beaks.
like saber-toothed cats, like long in the tooth. That's like an old cat. He's long in the tooth.
Well, we'll save that. We'll save that for the guy at the end of our list. Evan Ingram.
Exactly.
One thing that really impressed me in diving into his numbers a little bit, he got 14 red zone targets, which was 6th overall, and in only 8 games. So if you double that, that's 28, and that's more than Kelsey. That's more than Kittle. That's more than any other tight end. So, again, it's health. I'm expecting bigger things out of the Giants this year offensively. And if we get a healthy Evan Ingram, yes, that's going to look good for them.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, number 8, we've got Tyler Higbee, and he is a guy who really. I grabbed him at just the right time in one of my leagues, right before week 13, and he just was fantastic. Yep. Just fantastic. I did some number crunching on him, you know, from week 13 on, he went for 107, 116, 111, 104, and 84 yards. You prorate that over an entire season, that's 1670 yards. I'm not expecting that, but that to me is telling me that the Rams are actually going to emphasize the tight end more this year. And I think Higbee is going to be a big part of that.
No, absolutely.
I don't think so. I think I don't like Higbee, but honestly, we're on another tier already because
yeah,
it's just, I don't know. I think he's to start the season like that and then blow up. Yeah, that's great for some players, but the Rams were horrible all year. Someone was eventually going to have to do good, and he was the beneficiary. He got an okay amount of receptions with 69. But he averages 10 yards a reception. He's just so average, and I'm already tired because I'm expecting like the great play of Kelce and Kittle looking all strong, and now I'm like, oh, now we're talking about Higbee, like really? Well, but that just tells you how there's no depth in the tight end. But Higbee could still produce. It's just that if you have Higbee, definitely get a nice backup.
No, yeah, I mean, and last year, again, we'll go back to it. Last year, I had Jared Goff and I had Robert Woods, and Higbee outperformed Robert Woods, you know, for a lot of those games. So, you know, like you said, we are getting down into our lower tiers. Higbee, you know, again, because in our league, you know, tight end is not a required spot. You know, I don't know how many of us will be looking at him in a later round. If you can get him, you know, at a bargain, you know, sure, he can. Be a nice fill-in, you know, to get you some good yards on some good weeks. But we'll have to wait and see. For those leagues that, you know, require a tight end, well, then, yeah, for sure. Tyler Higbee would be a nice pick for you. You know, if he's going to get you 100-yard games like he did last year, like George said, you know, several games, you know, he's getting over 100 yards. And, again, Goff last year was definitely targeting, you know, Higbee before he was targeting Woods. You know, definitely someone to look at.
And you know what? All three of them had games there at the last five games of the season, Higbee, Woods, and Cooper Kupp. So I'm still, you know, we're going to get into underrated offenses down the road. So preview, I may be looking at the Rams. But to me, it's a lot of it is McVay. McVay is going to make sure that they're going to be a good offense. And I think Higbee is going to be a part of it. And Austin Hooper. Number nine, we've got him. I think we all wished he would have stayed in Atlanta.
He'd be ahead of Tyler Higbee if he was in Atlanta.
Oh, for sure.
I think he'd be a lot. Rick, what else do you think of Hooper?
Hooper is, last year was a surprise how well he did last year. And it just sucks to see him go to the Browns because it's like you're just going to be another mouth to feed. They already got Njoku, who... He's been really bad, but the hype is still there for Njoku. I can't even say his name.
Njoku.
But it's like Austin Hooper, yeah, he's got the skill. He's got the wisdom because he's long in the tooth pretty much. I'm going to use that all the time.
There you go. Hey, all right.
But, I mean, he's going down in quarterback play. Yes, he had Julio Jones, but now he's got the Diva and OBJ and Landry. So it's just like... Really, dude, like, he's always been the type of player who's just cool with staying behind and, you know, being in the shadows. And I think maybe that's what the Browns need, but that's not what your fantasy team needs. And like I said, if he was with Atlanta and you had that all-star Matt Ryan throwing to you, oh, yeah, put him way higher. But, I mean, that's what Baker Mayfield does to people.
Yes, I completely agree. And, you know, I think I've made my stance clear on what I think of the Browns offense for the coming year. I'm staying away, you know, the red circle with the line through it, you know, Cleveland Browns offense. I just don't like the Browns offense at all. Like I've said before, maybe Chubb, if I can get him, you know, at a bargain, but I doubt Chubb is falling to, you know, anywhere near anything that could be considered a bargain. So I'm just likely going to not pick up anyone at all from the Browns offense, and Austin Hooper being a part of that. He won't be on my radar either. So, yeah, you guys can have him or anyone else out there can have Austin Hooper. I'm staying away from the entire offense.
You know, I like that he excelled last year, even in an offense that had Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. I worry a little bit about the new coach, new offense. Everything is new. I think it's like the fourth offensive coordinator that Baker Mayfield's had to work with in his career, and just third year. You know, Kevin Stefanski definitely relied on the run last year in Minnesota, though. I did a little checking, and Kyle Rudolph got a fair number of targets, especially in the red zone. So maybe Austin Hooper is a guy that could blow up. I wouldn't count on it, just because I think he's at best the third option in this offense, and I think he may be splitting receptions with Njoku if he's ever going to blow up and become a thing. So
he's too nice of a team player for us fantasy players to want him. He's going to be cool sharing the ball. He only played 13 games last year, but he still got top six in reception and receiving yards. And top five in touchdowns. So the dude was awesome, but it's like you said, Georgie, everything's different. And I mean, I wouldn't get him if I even had him. I would just give up on the tight end position by now. I would pick up someone in the free agency after my draft by now. Right.
Tell us what you really think, Rick, about the tight end position.
I want to hope that the Browns can do what they look like they can do, but we know what they're gonna do.
Right, because but here's and exactly to your point, everything that everybody hoped that the Browns could do, that the Browns should do, they were supposed to do that last year. They had everything in place, absolutely everything in place. Quarterback was healthy. Landry and OBJ were healthy. Chubb's coming in, Superman, stud, running back. And they just crapped the bed. So I'm not, you know, yes.
And all those I'll say it again. I'll say clean it again. Sheets? Like, come on.
I'm staying away from the Browns.
So Ricky, you were talking about long in the tooth. Number 10, we've got our longest in the tooth guy, Jared Cook, 33 years old. But he's still catching passes from another guy who's long in the tooth, Drew Brees. Anybody banking on this one?
I don't want to bank on it, but I hate tight ends right now. So. I mean, if you have to, he's someone who every now and then is going to get a touchdown, maybe even two touchdowns in a game. But he's also going to be the person who's going to get you 30 yards and zero touchdowns.
Right.
But it's nice to have a reliable option at this point. So I like that. He only missed two games. So for having someone, I mean, 33 is not old. I'm friggin' 33, dang it. But I mean, for only missing two games, I missed way more days of work, and I've only worked there 6 months. So I'm excited for Jared Cook. I think Drew Brees is going to be on fire this year. And Jared Cook's got Michael Thomas to take away attention. So why not? It's a reliable pick. It's a safe pick, at least. Yeah. I don't think it's as risky as Hooper.
And we've been talking about, you know, older tight ends doing well, you know, talking about Antonio Gates. So, I you know, if Antonio Gates could do what he did, you know, for so many years and still be successful for a while, and I don't see why, you know, Jared Cook can't do it. You know, Tony Hernandez, you know, guys that, you know, tight ends that played for a long, long time at that position because they're big, strong dudes. Jared Cook is one of those, and he's on Drew Brees' offense. So, you know, yeah, again, I always kind of say it, you know, if you can pick him up later, you know, in later rounds and kind of just stow him away for, you know, off weeks and bye weeks and kind of use him there. He's going to catch balls from Drew Brees. You know, you never know, you know, you may start him that 1 week when he might catch two touchdowns, and maybe, you know, Michael Thomas turns an ankle early and, you know, Jared Cook becomes that guy. So you never know, you know, a good insurance policy, you know, you may want to, you know, take him later and you just kind of stash him away.
Well, and by the way, Hector, it was Tony Gonzalez.
What did I say, Hernandez?
So, yeah, Hernandez. So it's all good. So what I like, we got it. You know, Gonzalez is Latino, so we got to pay homage to him.
There you go.
Exactly. You know, I still like Cook. The thing I'm looking at with him is I think he's going to be like the number four option in that offense, at least from a passing standpoint. I think that that obviously Michael Thomas can't guard Mike is going to be number one. He's far and away. I think Emmanuel Sanders is going to get a lot of balls. And then you've got Alvin Kamara, too, who's what he gets 88 balls every year. So I think Cook is number four at best. In the option, I think with Kamara being healthy this year, I think maybe that's going to cut into Cook's TD production. But you know, honestly, he's as good a pick as any of the upside picks who are outside of the top 10. Some of the young guys who may be taking to step up, or the guy we didn't have in here, the guy we dubbed an honorary Mexican, Mr. Soy Fiesta Gronk. Yeah. We didn't have him. Ricky, you were the only one who didn't have him rated in the top 10. And
you guys both had him inside your top 10?
Or top 15. Where did I have him at?
I had him. You guys go ahead.
You had him 10.
I want to know why.
I had him at 10. Yeah, I had him at 10. And George had him at 9. And Rick had him at somewhere else.
He was off the charts, man.
Rick, you had him off the charts.
Because I wanted you guys to know how. And I used to love Gronk, just like I love Kelsey. That's how much I love Gronk. But, I mean, you guys tell me first, because then I'll tell you why you shouldn't trust him. Go for it, heck. Tell me why Gronk is even worthy of being on a team.
Well, first of all, yeah, and it may be a little bit of you know legacy behavior, as they say, you know, remembering how great Gronk has been, and just the idea that, you know, the guy's been out of work, you know, retired for what, you know, over a year now. Is it 2 years now since Gronk last put on a uniform? Yeah, everyone, when he was playing, you know, the knock on Gronk was he's injured and injury prone. And, you know, look at him. He's limping around because he was so injured. You know, he'd never really had an opportunity to heal, to get back to, you know, A plus, you know, Gronk status. So now the fact that the guy's had so much time to heal up, he's been, you know, he's been promoting, I don't know, the like vitamins and like, you know, juicers and stuff. I don't know. He's selling all kinds of like stuff on, you know, online, or you can, you know, eat healthy and drink healthy juices and smoothies and whatever. So I think he's gonna come back like, you know, like I said, factory refurb. Like, you know, your computer, you buy a factory refurbished, and it works like, you know, it's not new, but it still works like it's brand new. That's gonna be Gronk. The guy's like factory refurbished. He's like, he's not new, but I think he's gonna come out and play like it. I think I'm pretty sure that, you know, Tom Brady had a little bit of a, you know, influence there. So I think, you know, Brady's going to make sure that Gronk doesn't regret the decision. And I think Brady's going to make the game fun for Gronk and throw him a bunch of balls. And so that's what I think. I think Gronk's going to, you know, I don't know how, you know, I think I ranked him number 10. So he's obviously not going to be in one of the top tiers, but he's going to be fun to watch. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I had him number 9 because essentially I just after that he was in that tier where it's like, well, you know what? I'd rather take a chance on Gronk. I think it's going to be a great offense. I think, you know, he got the natural connection with Brady that's going to reinvent itself. So I look at that. I look at the fact that he dropped about 15 pounds becoming a professional wrestler.
It's those smoothies, man. I'm telling so you. He's like promoting like smoothies.
Yep. So I think losing the weight, maybe that's going to make him a little more nimble. I think being in a high powered offense, I'm not expecting vintage Gronk.
Right. Exactly.
If I did that, I'd be having him up with Kelsey and Kittle. But
right.
I could see him, you know, 70 to 75 balls this year, 800 to 900 yards and a handful of touchdowns. Yeah. I'd take chances with that.
Here's what I think too. I think there's something to be said about the competitiveness of athletes. I think we all understand what that means. You know, we all just watched Jordan, in the documentary and how competitive that guy can be. Gronk's a champion. Gronk has how many rings? So Gronk is as competitive as they come. I think that Gronk is looking at these top tier guys that are like Kittle and Kelsey and is saying to himself, like, you know what? I'm going to show these guys that I'm not done, you know, that I can still be the top tight end in the league. So, you know what? So we'll see. I think Gronk, the competitiveness in Gronk is going to want to beat those guys. So we'll see how that plays out.
That's the Viejo on you and Georgie. We have a lot of things to get off while you guys are both wrong. So let me get started. Like you said, all those athletes have that competitive fire. They also have a lot of stinginess, just like Michael Jordan came back, played for the Wizards, all that good stuff. So that's what he's doing right now. And you're saying, oh, Brady wants to make sure Gronk doesn't regret it. Gronk's got to make sure that Brady doesn't regret having him on the team, dropping balls, being unproductive.
Gronk doesn't drop balls.
He's slow. That doesn't happen. We'll see what happens.
He was slow because he was hurt.
Look, you said something not long ago, and you said basically Antonio Gates, and it made me feel all warm inside because I know. And I remember when you played, I think it was last year or the year before, I was like, I should get him on my fantasy team. You never know if he's going to blah, blah, blah. Nostalgia. All right, guys? Nostalgia. It ain't going to happen again. They just want it to look like it, just to get you all excited. But pass on Gronk. They still got O.J. Howard. Who cares about Gronk?
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm going to pick him. I'm just thinking that it's going to be fun to watch, and we'll see exactly how that all plays out.
I'm going to offer him to you in every trade I offer you.
I probably won't even take him. I just want to watch him. I just want to watch him play.
The one thing I worry about him is I think people are going to draft the name. And I think that's one of the things that we want to make sure to kind of help our Familia community is making sure that they're not drafting him too early. You don't want to draft the name.
Friends who don't know be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe Gronk's still out there.
And then you end up grabbing somebody else right after who you are. I agree. Talk him up. You think that'll work in our Familia league?
Oh yeah, Brian's going.
Especially after a couple beers, you know. Drafts can go sideways. You know, you get a couple in you, and then it can definitely be fun. So we'll have to wait and see.
Goes down so easy, so it's going to be dangerous at draft time.
Yeah, man.
Bueno. Eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets out to our Familia community. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB.com and also on our Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. Stay healthy, stay safe, stay home, and remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.